And over the past few years, this has been traditionally been the Sunday where Trevor rolled out or outlined what he and the wider church, what the wider leadership team of the church believed to be the areas of church life and ministry that God was calling us as a community to focus upon or prioritize throughout the remainder of the year. Sadly, Trevor is no longer with us. And to echo the sentiments expressed in the leaflet, Our Vision and Priorities 2018, which I think most of you have got a copy of, we miss him deeply, but we remain inspired by his example in both following Jesus and also in sharing our faith with other people. And to that end, we believe that God's general call to us as a church has not changed. In terms of our strapline, we believe that God is still calling us to be a church with an open door, reaching out with his love and power, helping one another live for Jesus. And one of our priorities for last year was to focus upon living for Jesus. And again, if we glance at the leaflet outlining our vision and priorities for this year, there are a number of highlights on the second page that have been listed from the previous year, 2017. And many of the areas highlighted here stand as a testimony to God's faithfulness to us when we have stepped out in faith and obedience and placed our trust in him and his word. So, for example, we have seen people being healed and coming to faith in church and on the streets, a deepening of prayer and worship across all of our church life, many people serving faithfully and selflessly in a wide variety of roles, groups, and activities, the continuing growth and impact of the Riverbank Trust and Kick London in the lives of many, the work with our children and young people continues to grow and flourish, and over £55,000 was given away through Gift Day and our church budget to support ministry and mission elsewhere. And as we look ahead now to 2018, we will once again look to re-establish some momentum with regard to our building project. We will also begin the process of advertising for and appointing a new vicar. And we will continue to focus on living for Jesus. Jesus remains our model. And the New Testament tells us that in spite of his status as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when he came to earth, he came not to be served, but instead he came as one who serves others. And this issue of serving God and our community will provide the focus for the remainder of our talk here this evening. In particular, this year, we believe God is calling more people within our church family to serve and lead across the many areas of church life here at Holy Trinity. And he's also calling us to encourage and resource those who are currently serving and leading, both within our community here and beyond. Next week, on Giving Sunday, Keith, during his talk here next Sunday evening, will in particular highlight the issue of financial giving as the means by which we might support and implement the vision that we feel God has given to us. This evening, however, I want to set the ball rolling and present a starting point for our own personal reflection before God, as we set out to discern what part God is calling us individually to play this year in the realm of practical service or prayer or financial giving, or a combination of the three. And our starting point for this can be found in the passage that was read earlier by Ellie from Ephesians. It reads as follows: "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Before I talk more about who or what Paul says we are, I want to talk for a moment about who God is, with particular reference to a core aspect of his nature. A fundamental aspect of God's nature is to bless. And Kate Kate Patterson, as many of us know, has written an amazing book on this topic called The Promise of Blessing. If you've not read it or purchased a copy, could I recommend it to you? Can we have the slide off, please? So a core aspect of God's nature is his willingness to bless. And the first reference in the Bible we have of his desire to do so can be found in Genesis chapter 1, where he created creatures to inhabit the sea, the land, and the air, after which we're told God blessed them. The writer of Genesis states that God's desire was that these creatures flourish and increase in number. A few verses later, we're told that God created mankind, male and female, in his image. And having done this, we're told once again that he blessed them. The word of God also states that we have been created in his image. So what does that mean for us? Well, amongst other things, it means that humankind has been set apart from the rest of his creation, in the sense that God not only gave us minds, emotions, and the ability to reason and make informed judgments, but he also gave humans the capacity to know him personally and worship him. And through our obedience and submission to both his word and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it is possible for us to be transformed into his likeness. Likewise, it would appear that the Creator also decided that children would, to some degree or another, be created in the image of their parents. The other day, I was reminded of the story of a young boy's prayer to God, which went like this. Dear God, I told you before that I want to be just like Dad when I grow up. Thank you that my eyebrows are already growing together. And when people talk to me, I don't listen either. So while children might acquire, for better or worse, the physical characteristics or personality traits of their parents, God, thankfully, has created us in his image in order that we might become like him. So why is this relevant this evening? Well, Jesus came to serve. God's nature is to bless. And when we were created by him, in his image, we were also created to serve and bless others too. Someone anonymously, I believe, described or defined the word fulfillment as ultimately a state where one is full of God, which implies that in order for us to experience within the fullness of God's life, his presence, his peace, and his joy, then we must follow the Creator's instructions. God has created us to serve him and bless others. And this aspect of our humanity is part of our DNA. And when we embrace this part of our makeup, it provides the key to moments of unexpected joy in our lives that are inspired by the Holy Spirit. And when we follow our Creator's instructions, the hunger within us for meaning and purpose in our lives will be met. Returning then to the passage from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Can we have the next slide, please? Paul tells us that we are, the next slide, please. Paul tells us that we are, that is, you and I are God's workmanship. In other words, we are his creation, his work of art, his masterpiece. In relation to this, and in his book, Four Cups, God's Timeless Promises for a Life of Fulfillment, the author Chris Hodges wrote this. You are not one in a million, you are one of a kind. Some people think of themselves as average, with next to nothing to contribute. And it doesn't help that the devil reinforces this notion by whispering, you don't matter. You're nothing special. You aren't important here. But this is not true. And he goes on to say that when we embrace the fact that we are unique and special, then we are on the pathway to true fulfillment. And the key to living a fulfilled life comes with the recognition that we were created to serve God. And Paul tells us that the acts of service that God created us for were prepared by God in advance for us. Can we have the slide off, please? And God has created each one of us to serve him in accordance with our own unique shape. You and I have been shaped and equipped to serve God. In his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, the author, Rick Warren, wrote this: God formed every creature on this planet with a special area of expertise. Some animals run, some hop, some swim, some burrow, and some fly. Each has a particular role to play based on the way they were shaped by God. The same is true with humans. Each of us was uniquely designed or shaped to do certain things. You and I have been shaped to serve God. Now, it's possible that all of us, to some degree, possess gifts and abilities that at present lie untapped. They are not in use because we may be unaware that we have them. Or we may have an inkling that we have a particular gift or talent for something, but for some reason we're holding back from using that gift. Could God be speaking to you this evening? Or it may be that we are already serving in some capacity and have done so perhaps for a number of years, as I know many of you here are currently doing. And again, I'd like to take this opportunity on behalf of the staff team and the wider leadership team of the church to say a big thank you to you all. Your love, your commitment, and your gifts are greatly appreciated. Thank you. I'm also aware that when we turn to Christ and follow him, there is a sense, of course, that all that we do or set out to do should be considered as an act of worship or service to him. And this might apply particularly to our place of work if we have a job. In his letter to the Colossian church, the Apostle Paul wrote this: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if you were working for the Lord, not for men. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Paul's words suggest that our whole lives are to be viewed by us as an act of service to God. And because of this, there may be some here who feel that their lives are currently too busy or too full to take on anything else or serve in any additional capacity. With regard to this, I think it's probably fair to say that for many, if not most of us, there are from time to time particularly busy seasons in our lives where the pace of life seems unrelenting. However, if the pace of our lives is unrelenting throughout the whole of the calendar year, then it's possible that we need to embrace or conduct a survey or inventory with regard to our lives and perhaps ask the following question: Lord, are there areas of my life with particular regard to my use of time that need to be reordered or reprioritized? And having done this, it may be that God gives us a sense of peace or a conviction that nothing needs to be reordered or reprioritized in our lives and that we're to carry on doing what we're doing. On the other hand, he may call us to address the use of our time in an area of our life. Either way, the call from Jesus to us to live for him is also a call to us to surrender our lives to him. And when we lay our aspirations and our gifts and abilities at the feet of Jesus and ask him to take them and use them for his glory, he will take our request seriously. And as we continue to seek him, he will highlight those areas of our lives that we need to reorder if necessary or prioritize in accordance with his agenda. For others this evening, it could be that the Lord is directing our thoughts to an area of service in addition to the service we are already offering. In the late 1980s and shortly after I had left the army, I came to faith in Christ at Holy Trinity Brompton. I didn't really have any transferable skills from my time in the army, so my employment prospects at that time were limited. Financially, things were very tight, and I was offered a job in a warehouse quite near to where I was living at the time in West London. The work was good, honest labour, but I also found it mundane and quite boring. The job largely consisted of loading boxes onto pallets and unstacking boxes from other pallets. The boredom, though, was relieved from time to time by many of my colleagues who came to my area of the warehouse in order to speak to me. They had heard that I'd recently left the army and that I was a Christian, and they were intrigued. As a result, I was able to share my faith. Meanwhile, at church, one Sunday, one of the leaders asked whether I might be prepared to help out with the team that was responsible for the work with the children's groups on a Sunday morning. When he asked, my initial comment was that I didn't have any experience or any other qualifications that might be considered useful for this kind of work. He said that none were required, but suggested that I might go away and think and pray about it. So I did. And as I prayed about it, I felt peace inside. There were no thunderbolts from on high, just a sense of peace. I went back to the leader and said that I would be prepared to give it a go. Although this happened nearly 30 years ago, my decision that day still ranks, in my view, as one of the best I've ever made. On that first Sunday, when I began to engage with the group of children that I had been assigned to, I experienced a sense of joy that took me totally by surprise. The following week, it happened again. And in the weeks thereafter, it continued to happen. My working life, Monday to Friday, wasn't particularly fulfilling at the time. And yes, there was an aspect of my engagement with those young people that at times was costly, particularly with regard to putting in the preparation before Sunday morning. But I would never have known how fulfilling this particular aspect of my week on a Sunday morning would become if I had not been open to the suggestion in the first place, or listened to the prompt from the Holy Spirit that brought peace to my heart. God has created us to serve Him and bless others. And this is part of our DNA. And when we embrace this part of our makeup, it provides the key to moments of unexpected joy in our lives and remains the pathway to ultimate fulfillment. And today, here at Holy Trinity, with our children and young people, and our youth is growing. We are in real need of more volunteers to step up and help those who are already serving and leading those ministries, particularly with their midweek groups that run fortnightly. Equally, providing tea or coffee or serving refreshments at the end of the service is a significant and unsung area of ministry in the life of our church. Could God be speaking to you this evening? As a church family, if we want to receive all that God has planned for us and extend the boundaries of His kingdom both here and beyond our community, then we need more people to step up and serve. God has so much more for us. There is so much more to come. And in doing so, by stepping up and serving, you will not be tying yourself for the rest of your day, so to speak, to that particular area of church life or ministry. As leaders, there is no expectation on our part that this should be the case. And if you're uncertain about your shape for a particular area of ministry but feel compelled by the Holy Spirit to give it a try, then talk to the leader of that particular ministry. And if necessary, negotiate a time frame for your involvement, which can be reviewed by you both at the end of it. In closing this evening, serving God and serving others remains the pathway to true fulfillment and blessing. And Jesus is our model. And we too were created for this purpose. Much of the world around us says that fulfillment and the answers to the meaning and purpose of life can be found outside of a relationship with God and can be located instead through the acquisition of power, wealth, status, and material goods. Similarly, the word success is defined by much of the world with little or no reference to God at all. In relation to this, the pastor and theologian Joseph Tun made this observation. He said this: success in the eyes of the world is how many servants you have. Success in the eyes of Jesus is how many people you serve. And we know that serving others can at times be costly in terms of our own time and resources. But when God calls us and prompts us to go, he not only equips us and provides the resources for the task, he also goes ahead of us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the privilege that we've been given to be co-workers with you in the advancement of your kingdom. Thank you that with the call to love and serve others comes the power to do so. And as we remain in an attitude of prayer, it may be that over the last 20 minutes or so, the Holy Spirit has highlighted an area in which God is calling you to serve him in some new area or sphere. It may be that he's asking you to get involved in some area of church life here at Holy Trinity, or even beyond our community. Or it may be that the Lord is asking some of us to reorder our priorities with regard to the use of our time. And for some, it's possible that he has highlighted an area of our lives that he wants us to lay down before him this evening. If you fall into any of those categories, the key thing that God is looking for here in this initial stage is surrender on our part. He's looking for us to say yes to him, because that yes is the key to releasing all the resources from heaven and the power that we need in order to fulfill the calling he has placed upon us. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So if you sense that the Lord is speaking to you this evening about any of these things, I'd love to pray for you now.